we turn now to the passage from which we were reading. That's Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read again verses 5 and 6. Joshua 1, reading again our text in verses 5 and 6. The word of the Lord addressed to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. The Christian believer is called to warfare in this world. And this is well pictured for us in the life of Joshua. Joshua was called to lead the people of Israel in battle, into their promised land, to reconquer it from the tribes that occupied it, to take possession of that which the Lord had given to them. Before him was the great prospect, the promised land, all that the Lord had promised to Israel. And yet, in his way, the many peoples of that land, the strong fortified cities, the powerful warriors who stood ready to fight to defend their territories. And we too have a calling to a life of holiness, to a life of purity and of faithful service to God. And we can see the vision of it, can't we, as Christian believers? We can see it like a promised land stretching in front of us, to be holy, to be pure, to walk in submission to our God. And yet, facing us, opposing us, and opposing our advance in that holiness, there are so many sins, so many temptations, so many pitfalls of one kind and another. And therefore, the Christian has a battle that lies before him. It's not a popular teaching nowadays. People like to hear in our day that everything is easy, that you simply believe in Jesus and that solves all your problems. It's a sort of magic incantation and that takes away all the difficulties and all the challenges of life. But the New Testament gives us an altogether different picture. It speaks to us of the Christian life as a battle, as warfare, as conflict. It speaks to us of running a race. It speaks to us of a wrestling match. Different pictures, different images, but always the idea that the Christian life requires solemn, serious effort. It does not come easily or naturally. We have to strive against powerful, indwelling sins and temptations. There is a battle before us. And we can encourage ourselves by looking at the Lord's people in battle in days of old and taking to ourselves the same principles that applied in these days. And so we'll take that as our series over the next few Sabbath evenings, Lord willing, excluding, of course, our coming communion season. And we will consider in some detail the life of Joshua and how that gives us encouragement to press on along the way. And tonight we consider the first chapter, which brings us this message of hope and of encouragement addressed to Joshua before he even begins the battle, the message of encouragement that comes from the Lord. And we can take much of that to ourselves and encourage ourselves with the prospect of battle that lies before us. We'll take as our theme very simply, principles for Christian warfare. And we'll see that it's the same principles that apply both in the Old Testament church, the Old Testament people of God, and today for us as Christian believers in the battle that lies before us. So firstly then, looking at our text, let's see this principle, the sovereign faithfulness of God. The sovereign faithfulness of God. Reading again verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Think of it. The Lord assures his aid. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? The battle lies ahead, and it's a fearsome thing. The children can think of battle and of warfare, and no doubt we think now of battle and warfare in terms of jets screaming through the sky and dropping bombs, people pressing buttons in a control centre and drones going out to do the fighting for us. These were very different days. Think of what it was like to come into the field of battle and see a man before you, armoured, wielding his sword, wielding his shield, ready to do battle. Where do you strike? How fast do you move? Are you ready? What's he going to do with his blade as you're trying to get him with your blade? Fearsome thought. A terrifying thought. The fearfulness of hand-to-hand combat. And this was the battle that Joshua was called to engage in. And yet he has this encouragement. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. The enemies are strong. Joshua knows that. As a young man, he was one of the spies sent out. He's been through this land. He knows that the people are strong, that they are skilled in warfare. He knows there's a great battle ahead. But what makes the difference? The Lord's aid. The Lord is fighting beside the people of Israel. And so there's encouragement. Such encouragement in the midst of the battle. Yes, it's still battle. Yes, they still need to fight. But the difference is they know that they have the Lord fighting with them and supporting them in that battle. So it is with you and I and with the battle that we face. It is a real battle. There's a battle before us. We have sins and temptations that are strong and that are powerful and that are very deep-rooted. It's a real battle that we face to be faithful to the Lord in the midst of a sinful world. I don't think the world has ever been more pervasive. Think what it is for young people growing up today, and the world is there on their mobile phones, the world is there in their laptops, the world is pressing in upon them, even to a more extreme extent than when I was young, which wasn't that long ago. And yet the world is becoming more pervasive, more pressing all the time, more aggressive, more contemptuous of Christianity and of all that we stand for. And yet the word of the Lord is still the same. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Can we take encouragement from that in the midst of the battle? If God be for us, who can be against us? And therefore, if we are feeling the battle with the world in our Christian life at the moment, can we not look to the Lord as our aid and find comfort in him? Let's see specifically, the Lord assures his presence. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. As the Lord had stood beside Moses and had helped Moses, so the Lord will be with Joshua. There will be a real presence. As Joshua and his armies advance towards these great fortified cities with their towering stone walls that stand opposing them, the Lord is with them. The Lord is marching with them. As they stand on the battlefield and as the great iron chariots of the enemy come rolling towards them, the Lord is standing with them, ready to fight beside them. As the kings of the land unite in opposition, and the people fill the land like the sea before them, the Lord is standing with them against these fearsome foes that are there. Joshua has experienced the reality. He's been with Moses through all these long years. He's seen the Lord at work. He's seen the Lord's power at work in the plagues brought upon the land of Egypt. He's seen the supernatural power with which the Lord drew back the waters of the Red Sea to allow Israel to pass through on dry ground, and then brought them back, sweeping over the pursuing army to destroy and to drown the Egyptians. He has seen the Lord as the great pillar of cloud going before the armies, the pillar of fire by night, the Lord's presence. As Deuteronomy says, the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. And so it is with us in the battles that we face. They are real and they are fearsome. We've got terrible temptations to strive against. And it's never been easier to succumb. It's never been easier to fall, to disgrace ourselves, to bring shame upon the Lord's cause. Never been easier. And yet the Lord is with us. The Lord is helping us. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And that is the same message to us today. The Lord's presence with his people is still the same. And so we have the encouragement of knowing the Lord near, of knowing his comfort when the devil is pressing upon us. As the Lord Jesus promised, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have him indwelling our hearts. And he is our comfort when the devil is pressing hard upon us. The Spirit's presence assures us of victory and grants us comfort and grants us strength in the midst of the fearsome battle which the Lord is bringing upon us in the challenge that our own sins present to us. He is still the same God. And you see, there is encouragement in that. There is such encouragement in reflecting on the Lord's presence. And furthermore, he assures his faithfulness. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He is an unchanging God, unchanging in his power. Just as he had power with Moses, so he has power with Joshua. But he's unchanging also in his faithfulness. As he stood faithfully beside Moses, so he will stand faithfully beside Joshua. He has committed himself to bring the people into their promised land, and so he will secure the victory. As the Lord says in Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. And so is the Lord's word in our day to us in the midst of the conflict. He is there, our Saviour, the presence with us, the warrior fighting alongside us, his help, his strength sustaining us in the battle. We are with Paul, confident that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the end. And having tasted something of the Lord's goodness, therefore we have encouragement to believe that he has a purpose of salvation for us, and that he will therefore lead us on even unto the end. And so you see, we have hope in the midst of the battlefield that the Lord is leading us forward. He is leading us on, and that he does have a purpose to grant to us the victory. Consider what we've known, even in our own experience. Consider what we've been delivered from already. Think about the pitfalls the Lord has led us past, and let that encourage us to see, yes, he has a purpose. Yes, he's at work. I've seen it already. I've experienced it already. He's guarding me. He's guiding me. He's protecting me. I will not fall because the Lord is with me. You see the encouragement. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the Lord is still the same. Oh, the joy. The joy of considering the faithfulness of our God. Can we not be encouraged as we reflect on that? And can we not take that as a great principle to lead us in the Christian warfare? The sovereign faithfulness of God. But that brings us, secondly, to consider the bold contention of man. The bold contention of man. The Lord says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. And this refrain is repeated 4 times. These words are very similar are used in this chapter. Indeed, it can make it five times if we include Deuteronomy 31 as well, where Moses addressed these words to Joshua. The Lord is bringing a continual message to Joshua to be strong, to be courageous in the great responsibility of leadership that he has been given for the people as they enter the war zone. It reminds us of the need for warfare, and that's so important and so necessary to emphasise. Battle is part of the Christian life, and if we minimise that, if we ignore it and forget about it, then we're simply setting ourselves up to fail and to fall into sin and to fall into temptation, because the Christian life requires solemn, sanctified effort. There are still serious temptations, and the devil is still very active. The Lord has given you a new heart. He's given you a new love for himself. He's given you a new faith. But that does not mean that you are immune from falling. And we have many biblical examples to prove that. And tragically, it's often more in old age that we see Noah, that we see Moses, that we see many others falling into sin, bringing shame upon the cause. When they thought they were strong, then they were weak. Oh, we need to find our strength in the Lord in the midst of the battle. This world is a war zone, and it makes sense to us. Satan has brought us into the battlefield, and we are striving against all his stratagems as he tries to lead us into defeat and humiliation and disgrace. Oh, the danger that the Christian faces. There are temptations, real, serious temptations. And we know them ourselves. They're different, no doubt, for each one of us. But our heart yearns after what the world has. We look at the temptations of the world around us, and we are ashamed as we reflect on the wicked longings of our hearts for what is vile and sinful. Then there's the opposition. And the opposition of this world has never been more stubborn, more scornful, more aggressive than what we face today. There is real opposition to the Christian faith, and we must acknowledge that and be ready for it, that if we're going to stand on the side of the Lord Jesus, that will involve conflict and hostility from those who oppose him. And then there is the challenge of pressing on, of persevering. Not just right at the start, when we're all fired up with enthusiasm, but as the years go by, as the hard times come, when things are slow, when there is little evident blessing on the cause, when we have to press on, enduring as seeing him who is invisible. And so we must press on through the times of darkness, as well as the times of light, the difficult seasons, as well as the seasons of joy and of encouragement. The battle of the Christian life. What then is the Lord's encouragement to us? In this battle, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong. The need for strength. It's repeated because it's needed. Joshua is going to be a leader. Children, think about warfare. What kind of a leader do you think people need in war? Do they need a leader who's half-hearted, who wonders, oh, maybe we should make peace, maybe we should make a compromise here, maybe we should try and find a way to avoid the battle? Our country was like that in the Second World War. When it started, our Prime Minister was a man called Mr. Chamberlain, and he was a weak leader. He was afraid of war. He didn't believe in victory. And he adopted a policy that was weak and half-hearted and confused. And after about a year of warfare, the country had got nowhere. We'd suffered defeat after defeat, and the country turned to Winston Churchill. And Mr. Churchill, although he had many faults, he was a man who believed in victory. And he was absolutely single-minded in that. The country would win. We would defeat Germany, and Britain would be in it right to the end. And he led us through that. And his strength, his courage, gave courage and strength to the nation. And Joshua is told, be strong and of a good courage, because he needs to lead. He needs to be at the forefront, in the vanguard of the people of Israel, giving strength, giving leadership to all of the armies as they advance to let them know, yes, we will win. Yes, we are strong. And we will be strong. And as Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that speaks to us of the kind of strength that we must have. It's strength in the Lord. We're not believing in ourselves. We're not saying, yes, I'm such a great Christian, I'm going to persevere till the end. Rather, we're saying, I have such a great Saviour. I have such a wonderful Lord. I have such a glorious Jesus Christ as my master and leader, that he gives strength to me. And so it's not be strong in yourself, it's be strong in Jesus. Be strong in the Lord. And as we look to our Joshua, as we look to our Lord Jesus Christ, we are strong. When we see him with the eyes of faith, then we have strength, and then we are ready for the battle. When you're yearning after the pleasures of the world, look to Christ and be strong. When the opposition is all around you, and your friends and your family, perhaps your workplace colleagues, are mocking and scorning or opposing your faith, look to the Lord Jesus and be strong in him. And when you are depressed and downcast and sad, and you wonder, is there any point in going on? Look to Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. And again, we have such a need for courage. To be courageous. What does it mean to have courage? It means to look at something that is frightening, that is fearful, and yet to have the ability to go forward regardless. To do what is frightening. The courageous person is not a foolish person who doesn't realise that there's danger in the battlefield. The courageous man knows it's dangerous, and he goes forward clearly, with determination, with bravery, knowing that he is ready to face these dangers for the sake of final victory. And we need courage. We need good courage. We need to be ready for scorn and mockery and ridicule from the world. We need to be ready to face the challenge of our own sinful and wicked yearnings after the things of this life. And we need to be ready for despair and depression and sadness when they come upon us, that we have courage to face these things. And courage, of course, in our Joshua, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus models courage for us in a way that no one else does. Courage, we've said, that's the ability to go forward into something that is frightening. And if you want to see courage, go to Gethsemane. Think on the Lord Jesus as he wrestled with the prospect of facing death by crucifixion and all the wrath of God poured upon him for his sin. See him there wrestling with it. It's fearful. It's almost more than human nature can stand to face such a prospect. And he is weeping. And he is wrestling in prayer with this fearful prospect. And yet see courage. See in Jesus courage. See the strength that is there to go forward, to endure, to go silent as a lamb to the slaughter for his people. Courage to endure so that he would achieve victory for his people. And do we not wonder at the courage of Jesus? And do we not love him for the courage that he showed when we think on what he's purchased for us? Jesus has purchased everlasting life with that courage that he showed on the cross of Calvary. And so, you see, he triumphs through courage. And we triumph in courage, looking to his courage and being ourselves encouraged as we gaze upon him. Be strong and of a good courage, and in the midst of the battlefield, let's find our hope in Jesus Christ. The sovereign faithfulness then of God, the bold contention of man. But let's see thirdly another principle, the complete victory that is promised. The complete victory that is promised. We're coming now to the second half of verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You see that this is the great source of the encouragement that Joshua needs. He is to be strong and of a good courage, for. There's a reason for that. For unto this people thou shalt divide the land. You will have complete victory, says the Lord. So be strong, so be encouraged, because you will have the victory. So you see, we have this encouragement. His people will triumph. And Joshua has that encouragement to press on with the battle and to fight all the enemies. Every city that stands against him, every tribe united in opposition to him, every king resolute against Israel, everyone will fall and will be defeated because the Lord has promised victory. And so it is with you. There are temptations, yes, but they will be overcome. There are depressions that will come upon you, yes, but they will lift. And yes, there is opposition that you will face, but it will fall and it will be silenced. The Lord will endure and he will triumph. He will have the victory and he will grant to his people the victory. We will see the Lord Jesus Christ conquering and to conquer. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Think of that. Every tongue, every knee. Everyone who opposes you today, they will bow and they will acknowledge, yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes, he is triumphing. Yes, he is victorious. Yes, he is glorious. Yes, he is winning the victory. He will triumph. And that's the encouragement that we need. And that's the hope that we hold to in the midst of the battle. And so his people will inherit. And to this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land. The people of Israel will win through to win their reward in the promised land. To win each tribe, each people, their own estate, their own portion in that country. Having defeated the enemy, having conquered their lands, they will divide for an inheritance that which they have been given. And so the Lord will give the inheritance. And if you trust in Jesus this night, then you do have a sure hope of everlasting life. Think of that. He will divide to you the inheritance. He is the great Joshua, the one who has gone on before us and who is leading us into that promised land. He has already triumphed. He has already inherited his throne and he is there preparing a place for you and me. Think of that. The place being prepared, the inheritance being readied for that moment when we shall receive it. What is it, this inheritance, that gives us such hope, such encouragement? The people of Israel had a beautiful land before them, a fertile land, a land of plenty, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was enough in worldly terms to motivate them to battle, but we have something so much higher. We have a place for us, a place in heaven. And what does that mean, a place in heaven? It is a place of holiness. Think of that. To be perfectly holy. To be pure in mind. Without a wicked thought arising. To be pure. Every word to be pure. And to be able to look back on everything you have said and to be satisfied and delighted with it. To look on every deed and to be pleased with it. And to see it as holy, to approve yourself and to approve everything that you do. That is wonderful, is it not? And this is the prospect of holiness that lies before us. Then again, there is the prospect before us of satisfaction. To be completely satisfied in God, to have no longer any questions, to have no longer the slightest doubt, to have no longer any dubiety in your mind, but to be satisfied in him and contented with him and to love him passionately. This is the prospect before us. And this is what heaven means. Holiness, satisfaction, and therefore intense joy. Joy such as we have never experienced in this world. Joy such as the highest delights of this world are the merest foretaste. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what awaits us. The glory of heaven. And this is the prospect that gives us the encouragement we need to press on. Be strong and of a good courage, for he, our great Joshua, shall divide unto us our inheritance. And it is an inheritance without end, with no time limit, with no day of our death to bring our occupancy of these estates to a conclusion. An inheritance that fadeth not away. Oh, can we not glory in it? Oh, can we not marvel at what the Lord Jesus has purchased for his beloved people, the joy of the Saviour that lies before us. And therefore consider, his people will receive the fulfilment. The last section of verse 6, unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. The fathers had received the promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The fathers had received the promises. Now here was the fulfillment. It had come, just as the Lord promised. And so it is with us. We have received promises. We have believed. We have walked in faith. And before us lies the fulfillment of these promises. Unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. The Lord has promised, and he cannot lie. He is faithful to his promise. And so you and I, we walk in faith. We fight in faith, knowing that we have this prospect before us. We endure as seeing him who is invisible, the Lord Jesus Christ. We endure looking unto him, trusting in him, and trusting that his word is sure, trusting that his victory is indeed assured, and therefore waiting on him for the division of this blessed inheritance. The principles for Christian warfare. We've considered the sovereign faithfulness of God, the bold contention of man, and the complete victory that is promised. And let's see that there's one overarching principle that is therefore coming out to us so clearly. It's the principle of faith. We must have faith in our God, have faith in his victory, and have faith therefore to contend in this life. And let's try and apply that to ourselves as we come to a close. Trust in the power of God to save, the power of God. Think on who he is. Think on how exalted he is. Think on how he is able to turn things around in a moment. He is sovereign. He is able to grant the victory. And therefore let us have faith in him, he who is exalted, that he will indeed lead us into our promised land. Then again, trust in the faithfulness of God to save. He has promised, and he therefore will fulfill. And so again, let us trust, knowing that he is faithful and knowing that he will give us his promise. See his faithfulness to Joshua, to Israel, to Abraham, to Moses, and see therefore his faithfulness to you and me, the same God, the same faithfulness. And therefore, trust in the willingness of God to save, his character, his compassion. See it exhibited for us with such clarity, the love of God, his willingness to respond to our needs, to our prayers, to our desires. He is ready to hear, ready to respond, ready to give. See the beauty of the character unfolded in this passage, and therefore be encouraged. Have faith in your God. Is your trust in him this night? Ask yourself the question, are you walking in faith, walking with the eye of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? Look down at verse 9. Says the Lord to us, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Oh, friends, if we are the Lord's people, if we're trusting in Christ this night, that's a word for us. Therefore, let's be encouraged. And so, holding that encouragement before us, let us press on faithfully in warfare on the side of the Lord Jesus. Oh, may he bless his word to us and enable each one of us to press on and to persevere, so to inherit his promised land. Amen. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O holy and almighty God, we honour thee as the sovereign God, as God victorious, as God glorified. We honour thee and we wait upon thee now. Be pleased to grant to us the victory in due time, and be pleased to lead us on in faith and trust in thyself, that thou wilt indeed be faithful to all that thou hast promised. Bless us, continue with us, and love us freely, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.